are. Today we're going to start a new series called Living Your Best Life. Let's say that together. Say, Living Your Best Life. You know, this time of year, everybody wants to, that's what we're trying to do. You know, we kind of get these New Year's resolutions. We start making new goals and dreaming dreams and just getting ourselves back. And, you know, and we all want to be living the life, right? We're like, I want to be living the best life possible. So I want you to really look at the second word in this phrase. What's that second word? Your. See, many times we think happiness is living somebody else's life. If I could just make their kind of money, if I could just drive their kind of car, if I could just live in their kind of house, if I could just have that kind of family, if I could just have, you know, we look at everybody else's life. I mean, our ambition, we think living the life is living the life like somebody else. And what you got to realize that living the life is learning to live your best life. And that's what we're focusing on today is living your best life. Today, let me tell you, you're not in competition with no one. You're not in competition with no one. And the only person you're competing against is the man in the mirror, the person in the mirror. When you get up every morning, the person I'm looking at, I've got to ask myself, that's the person I'm competing with. I'm not comparing myself. We've got to stop it, okay? Just turn to them and say, stop, man. Stop comparing yourself. It's going to stop you from living God's best life for you. It's going to stop you from living the best life that God has designed for you when you catch yourself comparing yourself to everybody else around you. No, I've got to compare myself right now and say, all right, this year will I become a better father? This year will I become a better mother? This year will I make some changes I need to make in my life? This year will I grow closer to God? This year will I operate in faith? This year will I become more kingdom-minded? This year will I become more generous? This year will my attitude change to have more thankfulness and gratitude? This year, you've got to continue to challenge myself to say, all right, it's me, and I'm not comparing myself against anybody else in this room or anybody else on social media who is lying to me and trying to paint this picture of what living the life is about. Quit comparing. That's stealing what God's wanting to do in your life. No, what God wants you to quit doing is stop comparing and look yourself in the mirror and say, am I going to grow this year in God? Living the life is learning to be content in where God's got me now as I work on to better and to improve. But it's about learning to live in the moment now. You're not competing with anyone. You know, I was looking over New Year's resolutions, and they listed some of the top New Year's resolutions every year. These are the top ones year in, year out. The most popular New Year's resolutions are, number one, get into shape. Anybody here make that New Year's resolution this year? This year, I'm getting back into shape. Anybody say that? Come on, you bunch of health nuts in here. I see you guys. I ran into several of you at the gym this week, okay? We all back here together. Burning! Yeah. I took off, you know, every year I get back in the new gym and I stick it out for about a half a year. Then I kind of get out and I have to go back, you know, but we're back there, right? We're there together. That's one of the things we always do. Get back into shape. Another top one is get organized, man. This year, I'm going to organize the garage. I'm going to organize the checkbook. I'm going to organize. We're going to get organized, right? You go to buy all those things that you never put together to get organized, but we make it a go. Spending less, saving more. How's that working for you? All right, spending less, saving more, and then enjoy life to the fullest. That's always something that kind of catches that phrase. You know, I want to learn to be in the moment, to enjoy life. These are kind of the most popular New Year's resolutions. But the mistake that we make is this, is we think that living the life is something that happens to us. You know, if I get this raise, if I can get this blessing, if I can get this benefit, if I can get this to happen, if I can find this person, if I can get this promotion, if I can get this to happen, then I'm going to be living the life, man. I'm going to be over the edge. It's really going to set me off to live. You know, that's such a lie, because living your best life is not something that happens to you. It's something that happens inside you and through you. Living the life is not something that happens to you. Look at this. Living your best life is when you realize it's not something that happens to you, but in you and through you. That's when you learn to live your best life. It's not something, nothing's going to happen to you. It's going to make you live your life. So what's going to happen different is when you learn to let God do a work inside your heart, changing who you are, and do a work through your life. it's just, you know, we make the mistake, and it's a constant classic thing that we all do. It's a classic thing, is the next thing is going to bring me happiness, you know? It starts from a very young age. If I could just make it to high school, I'll be happy. If I could just get a car, I'll get my license, I'll be happy. If I could just graduate, I'll be happy. If I could never make it to college, I'll be happy. If I could never graduate college, I'll be happy. If I could ever get married, I'd be happy. If I could ever have kids, I'll be happy. If my kids ever move out of the house, I'll be happy. If my kids would ever get married, that'd make me happy. If they give me some grandkids, that would make me happy. If I could just retire, I'd be happy. If I could find a job after I retire, that'd make me happy. I mean, we're constantly looking to the next thing. If I could move to this house, if I could drive this kind of car, we were always pursuing the next thing. And we always put in our mind that the next thing is going to bring us the happiness. Our next thing is going to make us live the life. But it really goes against everything that Jesus really had to say to us. This cycle never ends. Your best life is not something that happens to you, but it's something that happens through you and in you with your relationship with God. Listen, you don't have to have one more thing given to you to experience your best life. Let me say again, you don't have to have one more thing given to you for you to experience your best life right now. You can have it today with an attitude change and with a heart of gratitude, learning to walk in the blessings of God every day. See, Jesus really spoke really, really hard, and Jesus spoke really direct on this subject to you and I. So let's open it up and see what he had to say to us about this subject. In Luke 12:15, let me give you the context here. There was this guy, Jesus is teaching to a bunch of people, you know, he's teaching to his disciples, and all of a sudden this guy in the middle of Jesus' teaching yells out, "Hey, Jesus! Yes, sir? Could you make my brother pay me back all that money he owes me?" And Jesus is kind of, you know, obviously perplexed here. Look what Jesus says to him. And then Jesus, this is how he responds to him. "Beware! Guard your heart against every kind of greed." Look at the statement. Jesus said, "Life is not measured by how much you own." Now, you won't find this trending on Twitter today, but it's very, very true. Matter of fact, you find just the opposite trending on Twitter. You'll find just the opposite all over social media, all over every commercial, that our life is measured by what we own, what we have. But our life is not measured that way. Jesus said our life is not measured by how much we own. So why do we keep falling to that trap? Why do we keep going there? Life is not measured by how much we own. See, we got to learn to live our best life first is an inside job. We got to guard, write this down, we got to guard against a heart of greed. Guard your heart against greed. Guard your heart. Jesus knew is so important. See, in our culture, it continues to feed us this lie. The other day I was watching this documentary on Netflix about the histories of toys that made us. And I was watching it because of nostalgia reasons here. It was really going over the history of some of these toys that we played with growing up and how they become such million-dollar institutions. And hearing these guys, really funny how they created them and how they fought to make them and who won the battle in the war room, you know, about who got what out. They talked about, like, Barbie, you know, and He-Man and G.I. Joe. You know, I played with G.I. Joe. Pastor Jeff played with Barbie. But with a lot of us, we did things, you know, and Roll Tide. Okay, there we go. I got to throw it in. You won the national championship, so, you know, we got to give you a hard time once in a while. Hey, you know, in all these documentaries, they really talked about how their focus was really just going after the kids. I mean, the commercials from the comic books to the, they put cartoons to go along with the characters. They put comic books to go along with the characters. The commercials, they talked about how the commercials had certain, like, rules. You could only use animation in a certain amount of time back then when it came to promoting toys, because they didn't want you to, you know, to really influence those kids too much. And so they came away where they could actually, not instead of advertising the toy, they would advertise the comic book that talked about the toy. So they get around, and they just had all these secrets, and they were just talking about how they were going after it. You know, they make the toy, the first figure. They would make it affordable for everybody, because I know if you buy the G.I. Joe, then they know that you would end up buying the bazooka. And if you bought the bazooka, you'd buy the tank, and then you buy the Jeep, and then you buy the helicopter, and then you buy the Ford, and then you buy the next man, then you got to buy the bad guy, and you got to buy the good guy to help. And pretty soon, you got 50 pieces here, and they're making millions upon millions upon millions, and they're feeding it from a time where kids until even today we're getting the same message. We need more stuff. We need more stuff. More stuff brings happiness. That's the message we've been getting all of our lives. If you've grown up in America, that's the message we've been fed constantly to us. You need more stuff to be happy. You need better stuff to be happy. You need all these things to be happy. And they keep feeding it to us. And what we got to realize is that it is constantly being fed in our mind. And we got to say, you know what? No, no, no. That goes against everything that God said. You know, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos was now named just last week the world's richest man. He surpassed Bill Gates on the Forbes list, and they say he's worth over $104 billion. That's a B with a B. Billion. He's worth over $104 billion. How has he made his money? He's made his money capitalize on what we've been taught. All of our life we're taught, we need more, we need more, we need more. And so he's just making it easy for us to get more. They got an app right there, we pull it up, you know, and I can have it, in some cities you can have it delivered that day. They have drones now that you order on Amazon and they will deliver to you that day. Within a couple of hours, you can have that thing dropped off at your house by a drone. I mean, he's done the thing with the Prime Time, you know, Amazon Prime Time members. You can actually get shipping for free. And so you're shopping, and you're like, you know what? I really don't need it, but I get free shipping. So that's almost like getting it for free. So we push the button, we buy it, you know, and we get addicted to getting those packages in the mail, you know. And some of you, I see the Amazon boxes just stacking up every day on your doorstep. Some of you guys are looking at your wives right now. I see you. But what is he doing? He's making his money off of what our society is telling us is that we need more. We need more. We need more. We need more. It's always ingraining in us that our happiness, our contentment, it comes with more. More. If I can just get the more. You know, and Jesus really was speaking against this because he realized it was really doing the exact opposite in us that he wanted to take place. Look at this. Let's pick it up in verse 16 of Luke chapter 12. 16 through 20. And then Jesus told a story. He was really good at this. Jesus would tell stories that we could really understand and really relate to. Jesus said, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And the man said to himself, what should I do? I don't have enough room for all my crops. Then he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build a bigger barn. I'll build bigger, not just one barn, but plural. I'll build bigger barns. He goes, then I'll have enough room to store all of my wheat and all the other goods I've got. He goes, and then I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, look what he said now. Can you see the sarcasm here? And I will say to myself, my friend. I mean, you think Jesus was trying to get a point here about an attitude? I mean, when you're talking to yourself and referring to yourself as my friend, you got a problem, brother. I'm just telling you right now. You talk about a man who's inward focused. My friend, talking to himself, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was his life goal. Other words, my friend, you built the bigger barns. You stored up enough. Now I can sit back and I can live the life. I'll just eat, drink, and be merry, and I got all this stored up for myself. But he said, but look at the reaction. But God said to him, you fool. Don't you love how politically correct Jesus was? Yeah, he said, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for? See, he was addressing this issue that simply says this, is that we work to get more, 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 then we're going to die, and where's it going to go? The houses are going to fade, the cars are going to rust, your family's going to fight over the inheritance, they're going to probably squander it on something that you probably didn't want to spend it on anyway. He goes, you worked all your life for that, and you have nothing to show for it. You see, Jesus was really speaking that we've got to address something. Does Jesus have a problem with doing well and having abundance? No. Because we'll find in Scripture principles that back up that Jesus is for us doing well. Jesus is for us having an abundance. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour it into us, running over. But what he doesn't want is us having this self-centered attitude. No, what Jesus had a problem with was me, myself, and I. I will say to myself, my friend, some of you need to hear what I'm talking about today because you can't see past the man in the mirror. And the reason why you're not living the life, you're always unhappy. Nothing's ever good enough for you because you're selfish. And you haven't learned to let God work through you. It's about me, my will. Wah. No, those people belong in a high chair. Feed me. Change my diaper. All right, I'm going there. All right, I'm sorry. See, we got to get our focus off of being that person and say, no. Living a life is saying, no, it's more than about me, myself, and I. That's what Jesus was coming against. It's this greed mentality that causes us to be inward focused. He was calling him a fool. He already had a farm. He already had a barn. He already had multiple barns. He had a big farm. He was doing quite well for himself. But his mindset was on the next big thing, the next bigger barn, the next bigger crops. Storing this all up will make me happy. If someone stuck a gun to you right now and said, hey, give me your money, or I'm going to shoot you, what would you say? Take it! You can have it, dude. Ain't no money in that account anyway. Just take it. Good luck. My wife tried that last week. It didn't happen. But we wouldn't mind. We'd like, no, take the money. Why? We'd say our life is more important than the money, right? How many would agree with that, right? Okay. But if we listen to our conversation every day at the water cooler, in the lunchroom, at home, how much does it center around stress of making more and getting more? How much is our focus really on trying to really get more and gain more in our life? It's there. And Jesus wanted us to know that living our best life has nothing to do with how many things we have. Research has shown that once we get past our basic needs of food and shelter being met, that our level of happiness really doesn't get any greater according to how many things we have. Those things will bring short-term happiness, but within 6 to 8 weeks, you're right back to the person you was before you got those things. If you had depression before then, you'll be right back suffering depression. If you didn't have peace before then, you're right there. If you're worrying before then, now you're worried about all the extra things you got. I got that raise. And it was saying, you know, it said that they asked them, what would make you happy? And this is about everyone. They polled people who made anywhere from $20,000 to some who made over $300,000. And they were saying, what would it take for you to be happy? And every one of them said, just a little bit more. And they'd ask them, and it averages out to about 20% more is what they really wanted. If I could just make about 20% more than I make right now, I would be happy. And you know, that's the mentality we have. It's always just the next. It's not like we're like, you know, we're not sitting there thinking, oh, I got to have all this. We're just like, I just need a little bit more to make me happy. See, that's the trap we fall into. We've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. It's just a little bit more that would make me happy. Just a little bit more it would bring contentment in my life. And the research says after food and shelter, that's all. After that, everything else really doesn't make us happy. It only brings short-term fulfillment. So Jesus was saying this. Look at this statement. This is what Jesus was really saying to you and I. Look beyond the short term. Look beyond the short term. We get focused on the short-term fulfillment, and we don't see the long-term goals that God has for our life. Jesus wants us to look beyond. Look what Luke 12:21 says. Jesus said, yes, a person is a fool to store up all this earthly wealth, but they don't have a rich relationship with God. Now, he didn't say that person was a fool because they had earthly wealth. He said, but if you put all your investment into an earthly wealth, but you haven't developed a rich investment in God, he goes, you're doing the wrong thing. Are you seeing what he's saying here? He was saying, and it's not, he didn't say a relationship with God. He said a rich relationship with God. Do you realize that? Last week I asked you, you know, how bad do you want it? I asked you that question. Do you really want it that bad? You can have a rich relationship with God. And he wants us to develop that. He wants you to develop something that's meaningful. It's why? Because he wants us to see beyond where we're at. He wants to have a kingdom mindset. He wants us to have a kingdom mindset. It's simply this. He wants you to realize it's this, that we are about the kingdom. It's all right that we're blessed. It's all right that we have an abundance. But does our abundance have us? Does our drive to get an abundance have us? God, I want to be blessed so I can continue to bless others more. That's the attitude he wants from us. God, who am I investing? Am I investing in the kingdom? Am I helping those who need help? Am I investing in doing things that are going to bring people into the kingdom of God? The Bible is very clear. It says that when we win somebody to God, when we win somebody to God, that we receive a crown. Isn't that pretty cool? So when we get to heaven, we're going to have crowns. We're going to have jewels in these crowns based off the people that we have led to the Lord and helped bring to Jesus. Pretty cool fact. As a matter of fact, it says that there's going to come a time we're going to have this big worship service going on in heaven. And it says Jesus is going to be on his throne and we're going to come up. It says we're going to come up and we're going to join with the angels. We're going to take off our crowns and we're going to throw them at Jesus' feet. And we're going to worship. See, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Father. Worthy, 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 worthy. And so we're going to cast off our crowns at his feet. Can you imagine that? As mountains and mountains of crowns are cast at his feet and people are singing his praises. So the question is this. See, when you're self-focused, you may get into the kingdom of God, but how bad would it be for you to be in the back corner of heaven and you don't have a crown to give to Jesus? Why? Because I was too self-centered. I didn't do anything in my life. I didn't give anything. I was so worried about myself, I didn't bring anybody with me. No, he wants us to get to the focus off of myself and say, God, I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing. God, I'm already blessed right now. And you've already blessed me with so much that if I don't get another thing, God, I am still a blessed person. And I'm still living the life because I've received your mercy. I've received your grace. And my name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to receive a mansion. Oh, yeah. Come on. He said, if it was not true, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back for you. So my eyes are not just on today. My eyes are just not on my things. My eyes got to be long-term on the kingdom. I can't let my things grab a hold of me. It will take you from living the life. Society pours that into us, and so you got to guard your heart. Pastors, God don't want me to succeed. Yeah, God wants you to succeed. He wants you to be successful in your business. He wants you to be successful in your job. He wants you to be successful in anything you do. He says, when you work hard. Work is unto the Lord. That's not somebody he wants you to take easy. He wants you to do your very, very best. He says, we work our job as unto the Lord. That's a pretty tall statement, isn't it? Because you treat your job like you're working for God. That's the responsibility we have. So he's not telling you not to do your best, not to achieve more. What he's saying is this, don't let your short-sightedness on trying to get things consume you, or greed guards your heart. And greed comes in and consumes you. And you can't see beyond where you're at. You can't help anybody else because you're always worried about helping yourself. You can't bring anybody else into the kingdom because you're always focused on your own kingdom. And that's when Jesus really had a problem with it. That's when Jesus really dealt with it. Look what he says in Luke 12, 32, 33. He says, don't be afraid. Little flock, he's talking to us. Hey, little ones, listen, man, listen to me. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. God wants to give us the kingdom, doesn't he? That's what he says. God wants to give us the kingdom. Then he told him, hey, sell your possessions. Give it to those in need. This will store up treasures for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven will never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. See, we see this happening right here where God was saying something to us. Does God expect every Christian to go out and sell everything they own and give it to the poor? No, that's not what he was saying. Remember, he was dealing with somebody. He was dealing with greed in their life. And we see him say the same thing to the rich young ruler who had a lot of possessions, and they really were grabbing his heart. And the Bible says he loved those things a lot. And so when it comes to somebody who's dealing with greed, when it comes to somebody who really had fallen in love with their things, he was saying, free yourself of that. Don't let that be the thing that holds your heart. Man, help somebody else out. Give your treasure away so that God can take care of you. When I help somebody, I'm unlocking the door for God to help me. Isn't that pretty cool? When I help somebody in Jesus' name, it says right here that he's going to bless me even more. Isn't that pretty cool? When I help somebody in Jesus' name, he's going to help me. So I've got to have the Spirit. See, look at this. If you want to live your best life, if you want to live your best life, two things that open that doorway: gratitude and generosity. Gratitude and generosity really open up the doorway to living my best life as a Christian. See, gratitude says, I'm going to stop thinking less and being focused on what I don't have, and instead, I'm going to be more thankful for what I already do. I'm going to quit focusing on the next thing, wanting to get the next thing, and I'm going to thank God for what I have now. I'm going to quit being so driven to get the next thing that I don't stop and thank God for the season I'm in now. See, gratitude stops comparing yourself to everyone else. Quit looking at what everybody else got on social media. Quit looking at what everybody else is driving. Quit looking at what everybody else is doing. And it says, get your focus on what God is doing in your life. That's gratitude. It doesn't mean you don't work hard or have ambition. It just means I become more thankful for what God has already given me now. See, generosity says I'm not controlled by greed. I'm blessed by helping others. Generosity says I'm blessed by helping others. See, generosity is always looking to be a blessing. Generosity makes you always look to be a blessing. Generosity goes when your kid goes, or your grandkid goes to play baseball or basketball or football. They show up and maybe on that baseball team and you look around and go, all these kids got brand new cleats. But that one kid, I can tell he doesn't have any cleats yet. Or the cleats he has is like they've been passed down a few years. And his glove he's got on, he's got a hole in his glove and can't even afford a batting glove. His mom's probably a single mom and trying to do the best she can. And so I go by to find out what size the kid's in. I buy him some shoes. I buy him a new glove and I give it to the coach and say, make sure he gets this without any glory for myself. How many think that would make Jesus really happy? I think Jesus likes it. Jesus smiles when we do that. See, that's having an attitude of generosity. Generosity says, you know what? It's snowy like this today, and I check on the elderly and say, hey, can I bring you some bread and milk? Yeah, you doing okay? Let me get out for you and take care of you. If you see someone elderly taking their groceries out, you're helping them to the car, then putting them in the car and helping put the cart away for them. You know, things like that. Why? Because I'm a generous person. It's just who I am. I think that's what Jesus would want me to be. I think Jesus would want me to be aware of the neighbor who can't cut the yard because maybe they're so busy and they're working overtime and they don't have the money, or their lawnmower is broken, or they've just been sick, or something's going on. The yard has been mowed in a couple of weeks. It's getting up there. So while they're not looking, I go out there and I mow it for them. Why? Because I think that's what Jesus would do. It's a heart of generosity. It unlocks something in me. It gets my focus off of, well, he's bringing my house down and my value my own. I wanted to sell my house, and I can't sell it because they won't cut the yard. I hate them, neighbor. Come on now, we've all been there. All right. Someone said, Pastor, you've been talking to my wife about my neighbor? No, I'm just saying, I think this is what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to have a heart of gratitude. God, I thank you for what you've already done for me. I thank you for what you've already given me. I thank you, God, for what you've already done. I'm going to learn to celebrate that. And as I go forward, anything you give me, it's a kingdom investment. It's a kingdom blessing. I'll provide for my family, but God, I'm going to use it as well to bless other people. And I want to be a person who's generous. I want to change my attitude. I want to change and be a person who's generous. Why? Because this is what Jesus wants us to be. It unlocks us, lets us live our best life now. This is the last statement I want you to write down. Be filled with faith and not worry. Be filled with faith and not worry. I want to read this last scripture to you in Luke 12, 22 through 26. Then turning to his disciples, now remember, all of this teaching about greed, now he kind of takes a time out, and he calls his interns really close to him, and he's giving some more insight. Look what he says to his disciples. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life," look what he says now, Jesus said, "life is more than food." Now you tell me, okay, some of us will be struggling with it. Life is more than food. Some of you are like, "Pastor, will you shut up so I can go eat? Life is more than food." And look what he says, and more than just about your body image, okay? And more about just your clothing. He goes, as an example, look at the ravens. They don't plant anything. They don't harvest anything. Or store up food in the barns, but God feeds them. And are you far more valuable to him than any birds? Look at the last part of this. Then Jesus says, "Can all your worries," anybody here a worry wart? Some of you worry a lot. And Jesus said, "Can all that worrying, can it add a single moment to your life?" Let me put it this way. Jesus was saying this. All that worrying about all those things you're trying to get, you're worrying. He goes, "Is that helping you live your best life?" No. They don't add a single moment to your life. And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, then what's the use of worrying over the bigger things? I can tell you that I didn't do a lot of things right early on as a young Christian. But one of the things God blessed me, I was able to do at a young age, was able to not just stress and worry about things. And my wife and I are totally opposites, you know. We have something coming up, and I'll be sound asleep, and she'll be awake all night, and she'll wake me up in the middle of the night. "How can you sleep when this is rest around coming up next week? How are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to do this? How are we going to take care of this?" I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "That's next week, honey. Right now, I'm going to sleep. And next week, if that problem's still there, then I'll worry about it then. Until then, I'm going back to sleep." You know, so often, and most of the time, those things already work themselves out before that even comes up. And the things that maybe they came up that hadn't worked themselves out end up working themselves out anyway long term. I've never been forsaken. I've never been begging for bread. Jesus is always taking care of us. He's always going to take care of us. That's the promise. Listen, don't let worry stress you out. Some of you have been so stressed with worry, and it's stealing you from living your best life. Don't let greed take you there. Don't let your next season, the striving for the next season, take you there. Don't let worry steal from you living the best life that God has for you. It's the last statement I'm going to read, then we're going to sing. If you can't learn to live your best life now, you won't live it when you receive the next blessing in your life. Why isn't God blessing me more? God, you're blessing them. You're not blessing me. Why is that? If I can't learn to live it now in the blessings I've been given, I won't live it later when I receive more blessing. So maybe if I can learn to walk in contentment now, if I can learn to live my best life now, then if God blesses me with more, I'm going to steward that the right way. And if he chooses not for me to walk in that kind of blessing, I'm still going to steward what I have and live my life the best right now. It's where God wants me to be. It's where he wants you to be. Don't let society pressure you into the trap that happiness comes with loving the next thing. No, it's contentment now and becoming rich in your relationship with God. I want you to stand on your feet this morning. Can I ask you just to join me as we close today? Can you just come to the front? I want to invite you to come to the front and join me today as we just walk to the front and say, "God, I want to walk in my best life. I want to live my best life." Thank you, guys. Come on around the front. Yeah, we're just going to worship this last song together. Sometimes we just step out to the front like this. That's just a decoration. "God, I'm not going to live. I'm not going to live that way. God, I want to step out into that new season you have for me. I want to break those chains of my life." Step into the front, guys. Make room for those coming behind you. Thank you, guys, for coming up. I really appreciate you coming up and joining us here. We're going to close with this song that simply says, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And I want you just to, whatever I spoke about today, I'm sure many of you here can say, yeah, that's me, Pastor. I'm in that cycle of always looking to the next thing to bring happiness. Or I've let my own greed consume me more than I like. Or I've let my worry consume me more than I control me more than it needs to control me. Whatever it is, I want you to declare it to God. God, I'm breaking that in my life. I'm putting my mind to the kingdom of God. I want to be kingdom focused. I want to be a person of gratitude, of blessing, generosity. I want it to flow out of me. Let's make a person want to declare it.
There is power in the name.
God, you're breaking the spirit of greed in our life. God, we thank you today, God. You're breaking that self-centered spirit out of us. God, I pray that you help us to become more content where we're at, more kingdom-focused where we're at. Lord, help us to see like you do. God, help us to be generous. Lord, help our attitude to change, Lord. Being thankful for what you've already given us. God, being generous with the things you've already given us. And God, I pray that, Father, we break that cycle of always looking to this, the next thing to bring contentment. And God, may we find contentment in a rich relationship with you. Father, I pray right now, God, you're breaking that. God, for those who are struggling with worry, I pray right now that, God, you're breaking that worry spirit over them in the name of Jesus right now. God, may kingdom minds come out of this, God. Kingdom hearts come out of this. And we can all live the best life you have for us, God. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, put your hands together. Let's give him a shout of praise. Can we do that? Are you ready? Are you ready to live your best life? Your best life? Amen. God bless you. We love you. Listen, thank you for braving the weather to be out today. I know for some of you it was a little bit of a challenge. Drive home safe. Don't do too many donuts in the parking lot. You might hurt somebody. God bless you. We love you. Have a great afternoon.